Welcome to week three of the Chicago Bears podcast, or the Our Chicago Bears podcast, whatever the name of it is. It doesn't even matter now. This is Brad.
This is Greg.
And so Slan.
And we're here to talk about, a little bit late again, about that lovely Packers game.
Was there a game? Because I don't remember a game. I keep trying to remember to Sunday, and there's just this big black void in my memory.
Is that from
remember
the Lions?
There being an offensive beatdown. Remember that.
That was us, right? Because we have, you know, Jerry Angelo told me that our wide receivers and our offensive line were really good, so if somebody scored a lot of points, it had to have been us.
And Lovey said that they'd balance out the run and pass, and
right, so everything went well, and we won. So we're 2-1. Man, I feel good, guys.
Wait a second. We're the Bears, not the Packers fans.
Oh,
guys.
Fuck me.
God damn it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, man.
At least we're 1-2.
How could we mess that up real quick?
I don't know. I just forgot.
At least we're not sharing first place with the Lions.
Well, I have bad news for you. It's actually worse to be behind the Lions. Unless you believe the Lions are good because they've beat three teams with a combined 2 wins. But I'm not one of those people. So anyway, let's discuss the game. Where do you guys want to start? Let's talk about the positives first and talk about special teams, I guess.
2 whole yards, guys. That's a positive, right?
Two is a positive number.
Yep.
That's good. Anyway.
Defense
the whole
held
seven
sometimes.
Receptions for 80 yards. That was pretty cool, too, for Matt, you know. I didn't really like the whole 9 carries thing again.
Yeah,
that,
no, that
wasn't very
that was
very balanced. 9/36 is not really a balance.
But they told us they were going to be balanced. Why would they lie to me? Why?
You could put it on a balance and say it's balanced because it's on a balance, but you know, that's just Jerry Angelo playing with words.
How many times can you use balance in one sentence?
I keep
probably less times than Johnny Knox will drop the ball, you know?
You know, when it bounces
well,
off his face.
Well, that's like 10, so, oh my gosh.
That was just so sad. That was a first down. And then his face was like, nope.
Yeah.
Monkey boy.
And there were drops everywhere. Like, I know he dropped one. I think he probably dropped 2 or 3.
Dane dropped one.
Right, Marion, Roy Williams.
The cowboy dude.
Yeah, Roy Williams. And they kept on hitting our receivers, and it was not a pretty game. They kept hitting us hard.
It was not a pretty game overall, but I'm sure you guys know that.
Yeah, it was rough.
I mean, one good thing out of every single game that we see is the defense holds out, which is amazing that they still have faith at all whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that defense is getting old fast.
Locker can still jump real high, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm sorry about that, guys. I accidentally pressed my mute button.
We're sitting here awkwardly trying to figure out what's going on as we're trying to keep talking.
We're all robbed of my brain inside there.
This game is going like the Bears game.
We really do. Right now, we sound like the Bears offense looked. So,
well, hold on. Let's before we get into bashing the offense and, you know, crying about it, why don't we just focus on some positives? Like that hilarious strip attempt from Peanut. Oh my god.
Okay, so the one where he was climbing on top of the guy.
He was sitting on top of Starks.
Basically
trying to punch the ball out.
You know, that's commitment to a strip, and I appreciate that. I wish that.
Oh my god.
He probably touched the ball more times than most of the players on our offense on just that play.
And that's depressing.
That is depressing.
That's true.
I really wish they would stop going for the strip in times when you just need to tackle them, especially late in the game.
Just need to tackle.
If we stop them, it's as good as a turnover.
His mentality, because if you think about the way our offense was playing all game, the defense basically had to try and win the game themselves, right? So I think that's what they were trying to do. But there was a lot of zone getting picked apart. There was a lot of silly things trying to get turnovers, missing tackles, getting shaken off. It was pathetic.
Yeah, it was
overall just sad.
I mean, the defense did what they could. The problem is just that they're old and they don't have the depth that they need with the older players you've got, and the draft has just produced a bunch of both bad offensive and defensive players.
Thanks, Jerry. No, I think all things considered, they did an okay job. They gave up 27 points, which is a lot more than we expect from our defense. But, I mean, you cut them a little slack. You know, the time of possession was something like the Packers held the ball for 38 minutes and the Bears for only 22. So they're tired. They were missing their starting safeties. And, you know, Nick Roach is not very good, so he's like a second stringer. And I don't know. What did you guys think? Overall, what would you grade them?
The defense?
Yeah.
Well, the fact that they were out there for, what, 25 minutes or something?
38.
38? Oh. I'd probably give them around an 8 or a 7. The fact that late in the game, down by 17, they were able to actually make game-changing plays, or game-changing if we had a legitimate offense. But, you know.
They put us in a position to win multiple times, and I think that's all we can add.
Oh, yeah. And they do that every single game, no matter the score, no matter the difference, no matter the hopelessness. And, I mean, we're getting a little bit spoiled with it, just with our special teams.
That's true. Most teams would be happy to hold the Packers to 27.
And we're like, ashamed and can't show our face.
It feels bad. We're making excuses.
Yeah.
But, hey, Lance Briggs finally had a decent game, so that had to be encouraging.
He still had blown coverages when he drops back, and I know that that's probably not his strong suit. As a linebacker, but if you want that money, you gotta make sure you cover on those 10-yard, 5-yard routes, and that's what they were destroying us on. Were those 5, 10, 15-yard slants or cuts across the field? Just go right in between the zone, and there's nothing left. The corners are beat, the linebackers are beat, and our safeties, because we essentially had third string in, we're there just to, as a speed bump.
Yeah.
You know what the saddest part is? The reason they were able to tear us up on those short to mid-range routes is because of JerMichael Finley. Matchup problems.
He destroyed us all game.
Freaking giant, first of all. Second of all, line him up on a linebacker. He's basically an extra 300-pound receiver, if you think about it. He's not really a tight end at this point.
Hey, yeah, a and tight he caught, end that so. Can catch the ball.
What's
really
that?
Freaking well.
We should get one of those.
I thought we had one.
Oh, we had one last year.
Oh, that's right. And we
traded him for a third
rounder.
We had
two for the last, 3 years.
But it's okay, guys. We have Roy Williams now, and he'll be awesome.
Oh, my God, that interception. He just quit on it. He looked back once, and it was already past him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think he's rusty, and it shows.
I think he's awful.
Yeah, well, that's
I think he had one good year in Detroit. Detroit in rebuilding wouldn't cut someone who was potentially good and send them to Dallas if they had a use for them.
That's true. That is a good point.
And Dallas wouldn't really let them go if they had a use for them.
Also a good point. Well, now we're finding out firsthand.
And paying them money.
You really can't overestimate, like...
Same goes for Merriweather. New England wouldn't have let him go if he wasn't terrible, as he showed us so very well.
When New England trades or let someone go, you pay attention. Randy Moss, same thing, because you knew who would pick up Randy Moss last year, because if they want to get rid of him, you know something's up.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the risk that we took in the offseason, was signing a lot of these, what do you want to call them, like low-risk, high-reward, one-year projects. And some of them have gone okay, but those have mostly been the second stringers and the backups and the people who are projected to get valuable playing time.
And that's what you should do with a one-year, is a one-year project,
yes.
Is your backups.
Yes,
and your,
you should not,
your third
you should not,
not
count
your starters.
On them to fix your wide receivers. So.
Especially when there are better wide receivers on the market.
But I think, speaking of wide receivers, I think the Bears definitely were missing Earl Bennett on Sunday, because there were so many dropped catches, and Bennett has the best hands on the team, so...
Mm-hmm. No, he's definitely he and Forte have replaced, in a way, the Greg Olsen hole that was left for Cutler.
The
he
offense,
can depend on
you mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
He's really the only two people he has that he can depend on. Though he really likes Sanzenbacher.
I've which is great.
Yes, he is
two touchdowns. Having a
quarterback that has the Michael Vick syndrome where he just throws to his tight end on every single play is not very interesting, nor is it productive.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So the fact that he's throwing to wide receivers, even though they're undrafted free agents, is kind of awesome. Yeah. Kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If only they could catch.
I don't know if they just need to all like be stuck out back of Hallis Hall with a catching machine and just seriously for 24 hours just what, on catching the ball.
What I heard is that unlike most teams, the offense, the quarterback and the wide receivers don't stay after practice at Hallis Hall. The wide receivers just catch off a machine. They don't actually catch from their quarterback. That's what you need to do, is catch from your quarterback.
Maybe they should catch from Jay, yeah.
And apparently they don't do that.
I'm pretty sure Jay's arm is at least twice as strong as any catching bird passing machine.
Is any jugs machine? Yeah. And instead they're catching from the jugs machine, which is 9 times out of 10 the same speed and everything, when you really need to be working with your quarterback and learning this is what he does when he's about to throw, these are the variances, and got to work on the timing, and they're not doing that. I mean, who knows, maybe it's a March thing. Maybe he doesn't want them doing it.
Maybe, but that would be weird. But he is weird, so. But I mean, it shows. It shows that he doesn't really have, you know, that trust and that chemistry that he has with like Earl Bennett or that he had with Brandon Marshall when he was in Denver. I almost said when he was in Bronco. That would be weird. you know, he doesn't have Earl Bennett is kind of that guy he can trust, but Earl was out this week.
Sadly.
You know, maybe Greg Olsen was that kind of guy that he could trust. And Olsen's gone, obviously, though. Olsen had his drop problem too, but you know, you have Hester and Knox. You can usually rely on them to be open, but sometimes it's because they ran the wrong route, and sometimes they drop the pass anyway. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the wide receiver, everything outside of Jay is trouble. And you know, today it came out. I forgot where that was now, though. That he's throwing the ball early. They know that he's throwing the ball early now, and. Because he's not confident of his pocket anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and that
goes the timing of the March offense.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's all about timing, and if the pressure that he's getting every single play from the offensive line being crappy is totally throwing off his timing, then it's going to look like it did on Sunday.
They're going to have to do 3-step drops. Oh my god!
Yeah,
The best quote I read about Martz and our offense is that Martz needs to realize that he doesn't have Terry Holt, Isaac Bruce, and Marshall Faulk every single Sunday. And he has to realize that he has a converted quarterback, Johnny Knox, and a shitty freaking offensive line to work with. So,
right. I don't even know the highest pick of our wide receivers, not counting Devin because he wasn't drafted as a wide receiver. Has got
Roy Williams, of course.
Well, not counting him because he sucks. But you know, you have an undrafted free agent, you have a 6th round pick, you have like a 5th round pick, and it's just not. We're not going to be the greatest show on earth or on turf. We're not going to be the greatest show on the shitty grass at Soldier Field either. So, he just has to accept that. And you know, last year. We had games like this. This reminds me a lot of the Giants game, as did last week's game, where the defense kept us in as long as they could, but the offense just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And they went and they rebalanced the playbook and they changed things, and it worked. I mean, we weren't amazing, but we weren't cringe-inducing like we were on Sunday.
I'm just scared to think that the signing of Mike Martz ruined Jay Cutler for us. I don't know. Cutler wasn't stellar on Sunday either, but it's just sad to think that such talent could be wasted with a situation like ours, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Teams have done it before, though, so it's not really a surprise.
And you know it's a problem when ESPNChicago.com is posting an article on would you rather have Jay Cutler or Cam Newton as your quarterback?
That was their whole shtick today anyway, because I saw that when I was watching this morning. Part of their 1st and 10 BS with Skip Bayless. Holy crap, the Rays just won.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
All right,
back on football. Because baseball's dead to me after Monday.
Well, at least you don't have to deal with Ozzie anymore.
Wait, the Rays won?
The Rays won.
Wow.
Yeah, that's something
suddenly
else.
I don't care anymore about anything exactly. baseball-related ever.
Football's all that there is now.
Yeah.
That's true.
So...
It's all yeah. there ever was.
So, you know, I think Jay just doesn't have a lot of talent around him. Forte, maybe. But other than that, like, who do you look at on that team and go, oh, this player's so good that, like, the defense actually has to specifically game plan for him?
Sam Hurd.
What?
Yes.
Sam Hurd?
They have to game plan how to leave him open so that he drops passes for them.
Oh, or how to convince him to run into a punt returner or...
Right.
Dear God.
Okay, so let's talk about something that really pissed us off. Okay, I'm sure we know what this thing is going to be. Okay, special teams play. The greatest thing that could ever happen, ever. Us coming within 3 points after an amazing special teams return.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that fake was, I mean, beautifully designed, beautifully run. Obviously, there was their holding controversy, but... I think we just have to appreciate that we're probably the only team in the league
that
could think of something like that and then pull it off. Like,
and then wasted out a play that late in the game.
I know. That made me upset too. But,
but you know what?
It worked perfectly. Nobody was even near Johnny as he ran down the sidelines. And,
yeah.
You know, we would have had a minute left. Obviously, onside kick, low percentage. But, hey, if we just had one amazing special team play, I'm
sure. You know, Robbie Gould, he might just be that good of a kicker to do that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's definitely in the top five of NFL kickers, for sure.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
I don't know how the Packers blew the coverage on that punt so bad, because your job, when you go down there to strike as the first two people down there, is to follow that ball. And you should have known it was not going to Hester. Why did they all just go and say, "Ooh, Hester"?
I think it's just, you know, that's what happens when you have a player as dangerous as Devin Hester is. They're so concerned about making sure he's contained
that
he forgets to look at the ball.
Though, too. I mean, you see them there's something odd.
He lined up with them and he ran backwards before catching.
Yeah.
So I don't know if his guy just ignored him or what. But
held.
Yeah.
If you rewind the play, that's what I did because I couldn't understand what happened at all at first. If you rewind it enough, you see Hester coming in just about doing quote unquote catch the football. Mm-hmm. And you see it land at the very top of the screen, just under the score graphic. Mm-hmm. He just plucks it out of the air and just starts running. And I think that was the funniest thing that I've seen in a football game ever.
I think the funniest thing I see is right at the moment where Hester's supposedly quote unquote catching it, all the Green Bay players start to like look around and go, "What's going on?" And then they see Johnny Knox running and they like take off jogging in that direction, knowing it's already too late.
Yep.
Every time I laugh.
Here, I'm gonna watch that again just to see it.
That's just so gorgeous. Oh my god. To turn a special teams return into a legitimate play, that in and of itself is just incredible.
I'm still watching it. I'm still not understanding why they screwed that up so bad.
I guess they couldn't understand the fact that, you know, I'm gonna kick it left, guys, or I'm gonna punt it high up in the air, so probably just wait and watch or something. I don't know.
Maybe they thought it was windy.
And you pulled a Matt Dodge.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we talk about how crappy that field was?
There were stupid nail
sticking out of the ground. So I don't think it gets crappier than that. So admittedly, maybe that was some sort of plan, was to try and sack Rodgers on top of one of those spikes.
Dude, I would love that so much.
Yeah, I agree.
We need a real field.
Yeah, definitely.
I like Soldier Field grass. Personally,
we have a
fact that it's so crappy and that it basically broke Mike Vick's leg. Yes, last year.
That's true.
That was hilarious to me. I might be a terrible person, but
we have
the fact that we know how to play on that shitty turf, I like it.
We have a team built for speed. It doesn't make a ton of sense to be on like dirt that you can't cut well on. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it made no sense. The field was that bad either. It was under a tarp. It had not rained that much up to that point here in Chicago. So it has just made no sense why it could fall apart like that. All right, where do we want to go next?
Well, we've talked about the offense a little bit. We talked about the defense again. There wasn't much of a discussion to have because they just played a pretty standard game, missing their starting safeties, but you know, whatever.
I mean, there really isn't much to talk about as far as I can tell.
I think we should just let's talk about what do we think the Bears are going forward. What kind of a team do we think we are? What are we thinking success wise the next couple of weeks? Well, I don't know. What do you guys think? And then I'll say what I think.
Let me pull up the schedule here, and we'll take a look. And I just wait for Reddit to load.
Is that where you go to get the schedule?
To get my schedule? Yes, I go there because it's the easiest spot.
Well played.
Well, while you're loading, I guess I'll just talk.
Go for it.
Panthers. Steve Smith scares me against our third string secondary. Their offensive line's pretty good.
Their defensive line is getting better.
It's getting better. Their running game's picking up with Jonathan Stewart taking most of the carries nowadays. Panthers are actually my second favorite team in the NFL, so this would be a great game for me. I just hope the Bears actually win, because let's face it, one team in that game has a chance. The other has a chance for another first overall pick.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then we go on to the Lions, and I'm sure you've all read my soliloquy on Chi Bears about how I believe we're going to lose because it's a Monday night game. It's important to the Lions. And clearly, it's a lose-lose situation for us because we win. Well, whatever, guys. You beat the Lions. No big.
Right.
We lose. Lol. You lost to the Lions. So.
Well, you know, if they roll in there undefeated, we might get some credit for beating them on the road. I don't know. People love them now. They're like fifth in the power rankings because, you know, again, they beat two combined wins from their opponents. So. They're beating really good teams, guys.
Vikings are Vikings.
Yeah, they suck.
Vikings. London Bucks game actually worries me, to be quite honest with you.
That can still be a good offense.
Yeah, that still can be. And Rondae Barber hasn't lost a step yet, I don't think, in their secondary. Let's see, Eagles. Let's hope Vic's hand is completely broken or shattered by then. That's an easy win against Vince Young.
By then.
Yeah, probably. Again, Lions at home. I don't think it's going to be a problem at home. No. Chargers, you know.
Chargers are good.
We have a way of surprising ourselves with winning late in the year games. Remember last year's game against the Jets?
Yeah.
I didn't expect to win that one either.
That was a fun one.
So, I mean, really, the Chargers and the Oakland game, either way.
All right, I'm actually going through the schedule right now, and I'm picking out what I think they're actually going to do. And I got worse. I think they'll alternate win losses through the next four games. I think we can beat the Panthers and the Vikings easily. But God, why is Bears Vikings a Sunday night game? That's terrible. That Buccaneers game starts to worry me because that can be a good potent offense. And you're playing in London, you know, and the grass is different.
Yeah.
I actually think they're going to lose four straight coming out of the bye week.
Wow, really?
They're going to lose the Eagles again to the Lions. Because who knows, if the Lions are winning at that point, they'll have the confidence. They'll lose to the Chargers, they'll lose to the Raiders. The Raiders are potentially
yay 7-9 season. Yay!
I got them beating.
I might kill myself.
I got them winning three in a row though against Kansas City.
I'm slitting my throat.
Kansas City Broncos and Seahawks losing to the Packers, beating the Vikings. That would be 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 7-9.
Wow!
You know what? The Bears owe me a Christmas present for betting almost everything I had on that stupid Green Bay game and that stupid Saints game. So, we'll see what happens December 25th. They owe me one. Fuckers.
Well, I think I'm a little more optimistic than you guys. I think we win the next four. I'm willing to I'm willing to be that guy. The Panthers, I don't think they're very good. I still am not sold on the Lions. The Vikings suck. Bucks, I don't know. Then we go into the bye week, and then, I don't know, I see Eagles, Chargers, and Packers being lost for sure. And then let's say one fluke loss in there, maybe to the Lions because they're a talented team. They're just not the fifth best team.
You know, that one's almost a toss-up for me because we don't know if he's going to get crippled or not this year.
Yeah.
And if he's knocked out, we win.
Yeah, that's true. And we don't know, you know, Sue will try and kill Jay next week. Like, absolutely try and kill him. So, if Jay dies, all bets are off. But I'm going to say 10 wins. I'm gonna stand by that. 10-6.
10 wins sounds plausible.
I think what Sunday showed, and this is really my final thought on the matter, is that we're definitely not an elite team yet, but we're still a good team. And the pieces are there, though a lot of them were injured on Sunday. And we can compete with elite teams. And if we figure stuff out over the course of the season like we did last year, we can beat elite teams. But right now, I don't think we can. But we'll see what happens.
You know, the one piece that we were missing that really lost us the game this Sunday?
What?
Marion Barber.
Hey, you might be right.
That in of itself. A legitimate 50 yards rushing, like the entire game could have won it for us. You know what I mean?
Right.
Set up one more play action. Just one more. That's an extra touchdown. Mm-hmm. So.
Definitely.
And we know how good Jay is on the run. Mm-hmm. So.
Definitely.
You guys want a fun fact about that Monday night game against the Lions?
Sure.
That this is the first Monday night game they've had since October 8th, 2001. Yeah. When they played the St. Louis Rams at the Silverdome, and the Rams won 35-0.
Wow. Well, hopefully we win 35-0 as well.
Why you set your sights for the stars, man?
70-0.
85-0.
85-0.
It is indoors. No, and we are built
15-85. We win 15-85. Or wait, 19-85, not 15-85. Just a 1985, get it? It's funny, right?
Yeah, it's very funny.
Anyway. You people can make fun of my lack of humor in the comments later on. Feel free.
None of us even want to talk about this game from Sunday. Just
yeah, really.
Especially now, if we've been thinking about it for half a week, and I got pissed about Ozzy, and baseball took
over
for 2 days.
Ozzy?
I'm reading these things right here that you guys have, and one of the funniest things I've ever seen ever is number 5, period. Roughness on Hester for punching a guy right over the head of a fucking ref, you Miami dipshit, 3rd and 33, incompletion punt. He needs to get paid and have abortions. What?
That's in reference to Miami.
Yeah.
Did you not hear about that?
No.
Yes,
I did.
He's the big one in all of that. That no one knows which player caused the path to the abortion. But Hester was the one that got like $3,000 and rings and all sorts of other shit. So Hester was the one that got the most money, and I was like, I don't know that guy.
Well.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I think we're pretty much done here.
Yes.
Hopefully this next week is better. We can be a little bit happier.
Hey, if we win, I can bring my friend who's a diehard Panthers fan. We could make fun of him on here.
Oh, that could be good.
That could be fun. Yeah. I had no idea there were diehard Panther fans.
Oh, no.
Well, you know what, though? That guy that stayed in the stands, though, during the monsoon, I could see it. Did you see the one guy in the front row? The water was up to his hip. And he was in his seat, and he just sat there watching the game.
Yep.
I commend you on that. That's impressive.
That was impressive.
Just to give you an example of how much of a diehard crazy fan he is, he made fun of me after I became a Bears fan of the 2005 season when the Panthers knocked the Bears out of the playoffs.
Wow.
Because Jake DeLone figured out the hand signals that our coaches were signaling to our defense.
Yeah.
So that's how crazy this kid is.
I think the Panthers were good at one point.
To think that Jake Delhomme was an elite quarterback at one point.
And now
John Fox.
Now they lose to Todd Collins, just like last year.
We take their Please defensive players.
Nathan Enderle, not Todd Collins. That's
right. Right. Well, yes. Hopefully this year.
I think you could probably even lose the Grossman at this point. Here, we can wrap with that. It's not even related to the Bears game. But how fitting was it that the Monday night game ended with a Rex Grossman fumble?
It was perfect. It was everything that we were trying to tell Redskins fans, but they weren't listening to us. It was exactly what we warned them about.
As soon as he rolled out of the pocket, I was just like,
I know, don't you just cringe? Just,
I turned away at that point, and I turn around, and I see the ball on the ground.
Because you can't look.
Yes.
And like, I legitimately felt bad for my Redskins friends, fans, friends, or whatever the fuck.
I can't feel bad for Redskins fans.
It's so sad. It's just really sad because now they have to deal with what we have to deal with for like, what, 3 years?
Yeah. Well, I'm not.
But wait, now he's loved by ESPN. He's a comeback kid, so it's okay.
Unleash that dragon.
Yep.
All right, I think because
I think
it's Wednesday. I think we've been
dragging this on for quite a while now. I think we're pretty much finished.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone, and go Bears.
Yeah, bear down. Bye.